Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cloud Cover Show. I'm your host, Thiago Almeida, and I also have my host here, Chris Reisner.
Hello everyone.
And today I'm really happy to introduce you to Bram. He's a program manager in a new service on Azure called Event Grid. Bram, why don't you introduce yourself and let us know what you've been doing for the past few months here at Microsoft.
Sounds great. Hey everyone. So my name is Bram, and I'm the program manager on Azure's Event Grid. It's a brand new service that we're launching that basically allows you to do event-based programming within Azure. To give you an idea of what that really means, we're making events a first-class citizen within Azure, such that any service A can talk to any service B in real time and have the services react off of each other programmatically.
Cool. Let's just dive right in. And since it's a new service, it'd be good to just understand the basics of it.
Yeah. Sounds great. So to give you a little overview, the Azure Event Grid has basically is onboarding all of the Azure services currently one by one, such that any service, whether it's Blob Storage or Cosmos DB or Azure Functions, can emit events to Event Grid when something happens. So by this, I mean something like Blob created in your Blob Storage, or VM created via ARM, or a piece of data has changed in your SQL data warehouse. These events are sent to Event Grid, and they are reliably routed and distributed to any endpoints you want. So we're supporting first-class endpoints like Azure Functions, Automation, Logic Apps, and we're also pushing to webhooks, meaning that you can extend your Azure-based program outside of Azure as well.
Okay. And those event publishers, they are the ones that are writing the extension to become publishers into Event Grid?
Yeah, exactly. So actually, to give you a little bit better of an understanding of how it really all works, we have a couple concepts that you have to understand to get eventing within Azure. So the primary one is events. This is what happened. As I said, this could be, you know, Blob created, VM created, something deleted. That's just what took place. And the event is a notification. It's not the actual data, so it's not going to be the actual Blob put in your Blob storage. It's going to be a notification of it, along with how to go access that data. The thing that Thiago was alluding to is our event publishers. So we are onboarding Azure services to be event publishers in a first-class manner. This means that when you want to react to something happening in Cosmos DB, you're not going to have to go do custom code to go listen to Cosmos DB. We're actually having a push-push model where Cosmos DB has a set of events that you can just choose which ones you want to subscribe to. They'll push it to Event Grid, and all you have to do is point your account to whatever endpoint you want. Makes life a lot faster and more seamless for the end users.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So the next concept is topics, and you don't really have to worry about this in the basic scenarios where you're just aiming your data store at some endpoint. But if you want to send your own custom events to Event Grid, you will have to use topics. Topics, if you're native to the messaging world, you know what this is. But if you don't work in messaging, topics are basically just a domain that we give you that all of your events are sent to. They're SaaS authenticated for security. And it's just kind of how Event Grid receives all of the events for routing. So for things like storage and Azure Resource Manager, again, this is taken care of transparently to the user. However, if you create your own app and you want to send your own custom events to Event Grid, you'll create a topic and send those events to Event Grid via the topic. The next thing is event subscription. So this is really the meat of Event Grid itself. So when you want to listen to an event type from a certain publisher, you basically put an event subscription on that publisher. So let's say I want to listen to my storage account. I put an event subscription on my storage account, and then I can configure filters on it. I can configure routing on it. And from there, it'll just start routing and filtering those events, and it will deliver them to your endpoint. And the final thing is the event handler. So that is your actual endpoint and what's handling it. So we're going to have a number of native event handlers built into the Azure ecosystem, mm-hmm. like functions and logic apps, and they will be able to, you know, make your life a little bit easier in handling these events. However, we also accept webhooks,
right.
so you can send it wherever you want, really, mm-hmm. and react to the event in whatever manner you choose.
Cool. I had a chance to play with this a little bit before, and I'm guessing people will have some questions that I had originally. So the first one is, with Azure Functions that you called out and even Logic Apps, they already sort of have triggers that they've set up. So this would become a replacement for the triggers for functions, or just extend it and make it more rich since you're covering the whole of Azure?
A little bit of both. So this actually segues well into our target performance.
Right.
So the reason that Event Grid makes your function scenario a little bit better is our performance,
right.
or that's like one of many reasons. So currently, you are correct, you can listen using a blob trigger
yeah.
in your Azure function, you can
mm-hmm.
listen to your blob storage.
Yep.
However, the way that's done under the covers is by polling.
Right.
So functions under the cover goes and calls list blobs every so often, looks for changes. This has a few problems. One, it's expensive.
Yeah.
They're constantly calling list blobs. And that is hard on the service that this API call is constantly
yeah,
being
the
made
storage,
on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in order to not needlessly hammer pull that service that you're listening to, they actually back off the frequency.
Right.
That's what you need to do in polling. And that means that if you have a pathway that's gone cold, so if you haven't had a new event happen in your blob storage for let's say a week or two, then it'll take up to 15 minutes for that pathway
right.
to spin up.
Mm-hmm. And in this scenario, it would be just a push into
exactly.
the function.
In this scenario, the moment something happens in storage, storage is going to push to grid, and grid will push to your endpoint, so in this case, functions.
Function. Yeah.
And so that's how we get our top-level bullet, which is sub-second end-to-end mm-hmm. latency.
So that would make a lot of customers happy if they have functions listening in for blobs.
Exactly.
Now the performance will be quite noticeable.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
The other thing we want to do, not only is be very fast, we want to be very reliable. So what we're doing is we're actually doing retries for 24 hours with an exponential backoff policy.
Mm-hmm.
So if your endpoint goes down, we will keep retrying to deliver that event for up to 24 hours.
Right.
You can also check in monitoring to see whether or not, if after 24 hours an event gets dropped because your endpoint has been down for 24 hours, you can see that in the monitoring log.
Cool.
So just really quickly to wrap up the target performance, the other things we're aiming for, basically, we want the eventing service to be able to handle a lot of events very quickly. So we're aiming to be able to handle 10 million events per second per region within Azure. This basically means, and not only that, but it's a pay-as-you-go model.
Right.
So you only pay for the events that you send, so you don't actually have to provision any amount of event grid. You just send your events. And because our architecture is built from a ground up to be mm-hmm. horizontally scalable, you just send whatever you need, and we scale out as we need, and just make sure that your events get where they need to go.
Another question that I had was, these levels of performance and these types of publisher and subscriber, it sounds a lot like Event Hub and Service Bus.
Mm-hmm.
How does the Event Grid team relate to those? Are you all in the same team?
Yeah, so we do own the same, from a high level, we do own those products as well.
Right.
Event Grid is quite different from those
right.
in that we're not a message delivery service. We are a notification service.
Right.
So Service Bus and Event Hubs, they are sending telemetry, they're sending actual data.
Mm-hmm.
We are much more scalable and much lower latency, but all we're doing for you is giving you a notification.
Right.
So we tell your webhook endpoint that mm-hmm. something has happened in your data store,
yeah.
and we give you the basic information you need to go take action on that. But
okay.
we're not going to give you the actual data.
Cool.
But you would include a reference to what
yeah,
that data was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We will give you references to it, what happened, everything you need to orchestrate some action based off of it, but we don't give you the actual data. That's
right.
how we get the scale out.
Right. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. So to talk about a couple of the scenarios, since it's a new product, before we dive into a demo, there's three main areas that we see this being really useful.
Yep.
Serverless, ops automation, and integration.
And of course, as you're watching this, start thinking about all the scenarios that you might want to implement with Event Grid.
Exactly. We'd love to hear about them. So serverless. In the current serverless story, as we've been talking about, with functions, for example, you have to go pull and look for changes in your data store. Serverless is it abstracts away from servers. It's pay-as-you-go, but it's also event-based. Mm. And currently, the event-based part of the serverless story is kind of missing in that world. It's hard to get, you know, from any service very fast notification that something has happened.
Yeah.
So what we really are in the serverless world is serverless messaging.
Yeah. And I'm pretty excited about this scenario specifically because Event Grid will be able to provide a lot more from Azure as sources of events to trigger a function.
Yeah.
Because functions now, they have a handful of triggers that they have from Azure.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a lot more on Azure that could trigger things for functions.
Exactly. Yeah. The eventual goal for Event Grid is to have pretty much every data store and eventually every service within Azure able to both publish and subscribe to events within Event Grid.
Right.
So that we connect everything in an easy-to-use manner, basically point and click.
Cool.
So the next big area is ops automation. So what we mean by this, or what we're really bringing to the table here, is when you are, you know, creating resources, creating clusters, spinning up hundreds of VMs, it's a manual process. It's done by humans for the most part, meaning it's error prone. Mm. What we bring to the table, which is something that doesn't really currently exist in a fully fleshed out manner right now, is management plane events. So we're onboarding Azure Resource Manager as an event publisher. So this means your resource group, your Azure subscription, these can all now publish events.
Right.
So when a VM is created, or a, you know, a SQL data warehouse is spun up, you can do things like go check if you're using the proper encryption and the proper security, if your connections are set up right, and you can basically you can do validation.
Right.
You can also do things like tag a VM programmatically when it comes up online and tag this VM as a prod VM to keep it protected. Mm. Things like that.
And I'm guessing even other services inside of Azure could take advantage of this.
Yeah, service. Exactly. Yeah. You will certainly see performance improvements and just improvements across the board as services within Azure begin using this.
So to go back to the kind of example you did in just a second, could you then in that case basically set up your Event Grid so you get that notification whenever any VM in your subscription is created?
Yeah, you can totally do that.
So you don't specifically have to say to against an ARM template or any instance.
So you could create your event subscription on a resource group and say anytime a VM is created within this resource group, go take X action. Mm. Or you can create a subscription directly on your Azure subscription.
Okay.
And you can say, you know, anytime something is created, notify me, go, you know, take these actions, put it in this store.
Mm. So if you wanted only VMs, you'd probably use the filter?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So you would use either an event filter or a subject filter, which is kind of the path to the actual resource.
Like one that would be that's interesting as well is when there's autoscale on VM scale sets or other areas of Azure, because I've seen quite a lot of customers that want to take action besides the just scaling up and down, they'll be notified of it or do something else.
Yeah,
yeah,
you could totally do that.
Cool.
Because we're webhook based, you could even send a little webhook to your Slack or your Microsoft Teams channel if you wanted.
Nice.
So the third big area is integration, and there's kind of two parts to the Event Grid story within integration. The first is extending Logic Apps. So Logic Apps is going to be a first class consumer of events, meaning that anything that can send an event to Event Grid can send an event to Logic Apps now. So it kind of just expands that ecosystem even more, creating all sorts of possibilities. And the other is this concept of application topics that we've touched on a little bit earlier, and that I'll demo for you in a moment. Mm-hmm. Application topics are how you can send custom events to Event Grid and leverage its routing, its filtering, and its reliable delivery for your own app. So let's say I create, you know, social media for dogs as my own app. I can create a topic on that now that I send all my events from my app to that topic.
Right.
And now I can create, and all my devs can create event subscriptions on that topic as though it was an Azure service. Mm. And I can send events from that to my storage, to my functions, to anywhere else, and leverage the same capabilities for my own app.
Cool.
I love that you used the example of a dog's social media and then didn't actually like specifically talk about it. It's just clear you want to make a dog social media site.
I really want to.
I'm for this. I like it.
Hopefully that's your demo then. No.
No. But coming soon.
You need to work on
coming
it.
Soon to an app store near you. Yeah, so with that, let's hop into a quick custom events demo.
Sweet.
So what we're going to do now is create an application topic. This is where we're going to be able to send all of our events for our custom app that we're building. So we're going to send it to our endpoint for EventGrid that's accepting topic creations. And just like any other ArmTrack resource, we're going to put it in a subscription and a resource group.
Right.
And then we're going to call our Microsoft.EventGrid resource provider, create a new topic called Cloud Cover. And the last thing we have to do is give it a payload, which just specifies what region it's being created in, which you can see here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Cool.
Give it a moment. And now we have our topic created.
So here, just to let people know, you're going straight against the ARM API to create this topic, this EventGrid topic. But people will be able to do it from the portal and other places?
Yep, absolutely. And we can show the portal UI after this. I just thought that this might, you know, give a little bit more detail and color.
Hardcore.
So the next thing we need to do is we need to get our endpoint that we're going to be sending our events to. So at the same location, we're just going to make a get call.
Mm-hmm.
And it will return to us a endpoint. So this is where we're going to be sending our custom apps events. Okay. So we'll just note this somewhere for ourselves.
So now you've created a topic, and that endpoint is where you send events to for that topic.
So we have the topic, and this is the location of it in the web space. The last thing is we need to be able to authenticate. So we need to make one more call on our topic. And that is to just get our SAS keys. So let's do that. So now we have a pair of SAS keys. You can pick either one. And this is how we're going to authenticate our topic.
So when you're sending events to it, you need to use that key.
Exactly.
Right. Mm.
So.
And it's funny that you use post instead of get. And I'm assuming that has to do with permissions that you have.
Okay. Yeah, that's a permission thing.
Yeah.
So now that we have this, I'm not going to put you through the pain of creating an app to send our events, though you could even do it via curl. We have a little pre-built program that we've set up here. I'm just going to quickly input our endpoint and SAS key. And then run you through what our app is doing.
And we'll have a link for people to go and check out the sample?
Yes, okay. This will be available.
Sweet.
And we'll make sure that link's down underneath in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
So this app is relatively straightforward. All it's doing is creating a couple grid events. And batching them together and sending it to our endpoint. So a grid event has a couple mandatory fields, and these fields you're going to see whether it's a custom event that you're sending or if it's from storage or any first class provider. So you're going to see the subjects. This is pretty much the path to where the actual event occurred. As a custom event, I can put whatever I want in there. Mm-hmm. But if it's, you know, a first class provider, it's going to be something like within Azure Blob Storage, it'll be the path to the actual blob and where it was created. That way, I can create filters against my subject.
Right. Mm. So if you wanted just blobs that are in a specific container inside that blob storage account, you could easily do that with the filter?
Exactly. The next thing is the data itself. So this is where we are putting our relevant information for this actual event. So if it's, again, going back to this blob example, that would be, that would contain things like a URI to the actual blob, and when it was created and things like that. Just the important information that you would need to orchestrate an action based on this event.
Right.
The next thing is the event type. So as we've been talking about, you know, you can have VM create and delete and anything else. So we can assign events types as well, and you can filter on event types.
Right.
So if I want to have a function that runs only on VM created but not VM deleted, totally perfect
yeah,
to
and
use this.
That's pretty great with the filtering, so that you don't have to filter on the functions or the webhook side. You can do the filtering before it gets to it. So it probably saves you some dollars as well.
Yep, totally.
Yeah.
And the last thing is the event time. So this is actually stamped onto the event, the actual time that the event occurred within the publishing resource.
Right.
The data portion, I'm just tacking on there my demo audience, the date, today's date, the company, and whether or not this is public. So that's where I can put whatever I want in. You as the user of EventGrid can also just use, this is where you put your payload. Currently, it has to just, all we require is that it's well-formatted JSON. Mm-hmm. Eventually, we will also support binary.
Right.
So we now have our publisher. The last thing we need to do is actually figure out where we're sending our data. Mm. So a thing that I love to use is RequestBin. It's an awesome open source project that just gives you an endpoint to dump anything you want into, really, and look at what's coming out.
So if you had a function, then that would be the function URL?
Yeah, this could be the function. Yeah. This stands in for your function URL, or your logic app, or your Azure Automation instance, or your custom endpoint.
Right. So you're just using request bins to make it easier, so you don't have to worry about something else in the demo.
Yeah, exactly. This just will show us the event, and we can read it, and that'll be that.
Cool.
So I've put this into our subscription registration JSON. And so there's a couple things here. One is endpoint type. So right now, we only support webhooks. But we will be supporting queues and event hubs as well as many first-class endpoints. So eventually, even though you're sending to a function HTTP endpoint, it will actually be a function endpoint type.
All right.
And that will enable functions to basically, you know, do some code gen on your behalf and make life a little bit easier to work with the events.
Cool.
Nice.
These filters are all totally optional, but this is how you kind of do more advanced routing and stuff, but that's probably for another demo.
So now we need to create the subscription?
So now we just have to create an event subscription on our topic.
Right.
We can create as many as we want. We can route them to different places. We'll just create one for now. So, just before we send this off, so all of your event subscriptions are what Azure Resource Manager calls an extension resource. So as you can see here, we have our subscription, our resource group, and then our topic, our cloud cover topic. All your event subscriptions will always be tacked on to the end of whatever resource you're listening to. So if this was storage, it would be Microsoft.storage/storage accounts, and then your storage account here. And then you're going to go WAC providers, Microsoft Event Grid, and your subscription. So this basically makes a strong tie to that anchor resource, which you're listening to, meaning that you get things like failover for free, and you're closely paired, so you're in the same region, you get better latency, things like that. You get your auth is taken care of via RBAC. All sorts of little benefits from this.
So this is not gonna, this is a get, right? For the subscription?
Yes.
So we'll just
Correct.
Create it first?
Yes. Yes, and we need to aim it at our subscription request.json.
All right.
Awesome. Cool. So now we have our event subscription created. So now all we have to do is hit run, and we will send an event from our application here that's publishing events. It'll get sent to our application topic, and then any event grid subscription put on that application topic that is listening to that, that matches that event, will grab it and send a copy of it to its endpoint. So right now we only have one event subscription, but it has no filters on it, so it'll listen to anything, and it's going to send that to our request bin. Right.
This is another thing I find really cool about this is you could have multiple functions, your own custom service or whatever, and each one of those would be subscriptions, and you can make different filters
exactly
as well on those and trigger them all from one event.
Yep. Mm. So let's check out our request bin and hit refresh. You see 40 seconds ago when we hit ran on that, we get our demo successful event type. Cloud cover, today's date. So this is the data packet that we gave it. Here's the subject we were talking about. So this is where we're saying the event occurred. An ID in case you need to debug and trace it back through your stack. Mm. And yeah, so that's our demo
in cool
code. I can show you guys really quickly if you want to see how Event Grid works in UI. And so now I can also show you guys how this works in UI in the portal.
Perfect.
So as an extension resource, you're actually going to find us in this left-hand resource menu, along with other things like properties and monitoring, because we're always built on your publishing resource or your subscribing resource. So you just come over here to your left-hand nav, you click Event Grid, and you're going to see all the events that you already, the event subscriptions you already have listening to this resource publisher. And you can also create a new subscription directly from here. You see, you can select the event types you want to listen to and where you want to send it to. The only thing you can't configure from this particular view is your publisher, and that's because you're accessing it from an Event Hub view currently. It's assumed that that's the specific resource that you want to be listening to is that Event Hub namespace.
Great.
So the last thing we have is the which services are going to be available, because you know we're the piping. You need events to react off of. So in terms of publishers, available immediately or as very soon after going live will be Event Hubs, Azure Blob Storage, Azure Resource Manager, and this custom eventing ability we talked about. And then you can see the list of other event sources we'll have very soon after that. And as subscribers, we'll have Azure Functions, Automation, and Logic Apps, as well as webhooks. As well, the first three will be first-class subscribers, meaning that they will have things like CodeGen and other sugar on top to make your event consumption very smooth and point-and-click process really. And then we also send to any webhook, so you can send your events anywhere in the world that you want.
Cool. And so it will be public preview, so anyone can try this out right now?
Yep, August 8th, anyone can try it out.
Okay, great.
And it looks like we've got a link here for more content and documentation.
Yep.
Right,
yep.
So we'll make sure that's down below in the links as well.
Yep.
Awesome.
And that's great. It. Thanks, Baran. That's awesome. I'm pretty excited about the service and
definitely
see what people now come up with to use it as well.
Absolutely. Thank you much.
All right.
Thank you
so much.
All right, see you, everyone. See you at the next episode.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.